Welcome to Witness Sing for Jesus today. My name's Theodore Turner, and I want to tell you about why time is so short and why it's running out for many of us. Recently, my son and I were walking around in a secondhand store. We were picking out some clocks and some lights and things that we thought we needed. And we were just about to start looking at some other things there, some chairs and some stuff, and a lady walked up to us and she said, "Sir, do you know our store is going to close in just a few minutes? In fact," she said, "it's already closed. You need to go up to the counter and get ready to check out." When she said that to me, it made me think of how our lives are sometimes. We go through life, we're buying our clocks, we're doing the things we want to do, we're looking at chairs and furniture, and we're not thinking about the fact that maybe time's going to end, either for us or for one of our family. And the thought occurred to me, what if that was the last day of my life, and I went to heaven, and my son went with me, the one that was with me. We're right there, a secondhand store. What if we go outside, we have a wreck, and we go to heaven? I was wondering, what about my other children? What about my relatives? I wish I would have had more time to talk to those relatives. You know, I think a lot of us are that way. We are not being aware of what's going on in our lives, and we're running out of time. We should make use of every opportunity we have, because like in Ecclesiastes 9:12, it says, "Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall expectedly upon them." Sometimes, well, you could have a car wreck and you could be gone. And you don't know what good you could have been doing if you would have just tried and spent a little more time. Colossians 4:5 says, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." When I'm walking around, I often tell some people that I meet that I don't know, I'll say, "God's watching over you," and I'm sure that's true. He's watching over all of us. And a lot of times I'll get a good response from them where they'll say, "Well, he's watching over you too. Thank you for saying that." And you know what? We have relatives. That's where I want to go today. I want to talk to you about our relatives that maybe we haven't called for a long time, or these relatives don't want to talk to us about church, or we've done some stupid thing in our life, like going out and getting drunk, or doing some other dumb thing that made them think that we're just hypocrites and we won't even be able to do anything for them, and they don't want to listen to us. We may have done something else. We may have told some bad joke, or we may have said some bad thing about them. Even like it said, a bird can get caught in a net. Sometimes a bird's sitting around screeching and doing his stuff. He doesn't realize that there's a net right there waiting to catch him. And somebody's going to take him and make him into their dinner and put him on their table. He doesn't know that. He's just going on about his life. And a bird can't do the things we can do. Ephesians 2:3 says, "All of us also lived among them one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." How many of us go around and we're just eating and eating and eating? I know I had that problem in the past. I, in fact, ate a lot of sugar. It was just my desire was to eat a lot of sugar. I used to put a lot of sugar in the bottom of a glass of tea. And I know now that that was wrong. But when it comes to spiritual things, sometimes we think we can get around not doing everything we need to. And we think, well, we'll have a chance to witness to that neighbor. We'll have a chance to witness to that child who's upset with us because we couldn't help him go to school the way he wanted, or we didn't buy him a car the way he wanted. Sometimes they'll hold something against us. What we need to do is try to make peace with that child and try to get that child, that relative, to go to church. In 1 John 2:18, it says, "Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour." Some people think another word for Antichrist is atheist. And you know that a lot of those are coming. And some of those types of people try to change our children's minds, get them away from the church, because they just want to prove that they have more power over them. But one of the most important things we can do is make sure that we get our relatives and our children saved. So we need to try to make peace with that child and try to get him to go to church if we can. You never know what's going to happen. And you don't know what's going to happen between the good and the bad. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the day of salvation. You need to make sure you're saved and you've done what you need to do. Make sure you're following the rules that God set up long ago. Make sure you're doing everything you need to do. You know, in the Ark of the Covenant, they had the Ten Commandments. They had the golden cup with all the manna. And they had Aaron's rod in there. And those things were all in there to make a point to us. The Ten Commandments told us how to live our lives. The container of manna told us that God provides for us. And Aaron's rod told us that God has a way, such as it was with Aaron and the Levites, because Aaron was a Levite and God showed that they were the leaders of the church and the people should follow them. And there's a lot of rules we should follow, and we should teach our children the same thing. There's a lot of things that are going to happen in this world. Daniel 12:1 says, "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered." This was in the Old Testament. They're talking about the book of life and that you need to have your name written in the book. You've got to have your name written in the book, and right next to your name needs to be the names of your children, whatever their names are, or your relatives. You need to make sure they're all in there. So you need to go make an attempt to do it, whether you know what to do or not. Tell them the basic verses. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Explain to them that every man is a sinner, whether he's asked to be forgiven or not, because there's just an original sin that's in everybody's life, and we all know that. You can see how selfish kids are when they're little. And it requires us to grow up in our religious beliefs and our understanding of things and not become children. We need to remember another story, Matthew 25:1. It was about the 10 virgins that went out and were waiting for the bridegroom. Five of them didn't fill their oil and five did. So five of them tried to get the oil from the others. And the first group of bridegrooms said, "No, we're not going to give you our oil. Go get your own." And they went out. And while they were out, the door was closed and there was no way to open it. You know, the Bible says that when God closes the door, no one's going to open it. And when God opens the door, no one's going to close it. So you need to get to your children and to your relatives today. And you need to tell them that they need to get saved. You need to tell them that God's on their side and that he's going to help you. Matthew 4:17 says, "From the time Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near.' From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near.'" It's coming near to you today, too. Luke 17:22 says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, will not see it.'" There's going to be a day when things are going to end, and you're going to go on. And most likely, you and the people that have learned about the Bible are going to go on. They'll be sitting in heaven. They'll be looking down. You need to teach your kids another thing. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. This is very important. With all the pressure that's going on today, we need to teach them 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I've heard other ministers say that the spirit of fear, we're not just talking about fear here. We're talking about dread, very serious fear that makes you just want to be depressed. Some people are that way a lot. God has not put that spirit of fear on you, which is like dread and depression and just an overcoming bad feeling that happens to people. That's the spirit of fear. That did not come from God, and you can ask God to deliver you from that. You need to call for the elders of the church and for other people of faith and ask them to help you learn to get through that. And you need to teach all these things to your children too. Even the basic things like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's going to be coming a time when you're going to mourn and the people are going to mourn. Matthew 24:30 says, at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming back on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It says they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and beat their breasts and lament in anguish. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory in brilliancy and splendor. Daniel 17:13 also mentioned this in Revelation 1:7. Why would they be beating their chest? Because they know that they did something wrong. They got left out. And after that, it says, Revelation 1:7:1, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. See, there's going to be a lot of rejoicing and a lot of happy people at some time in the future. We need to look back at Luke 16:22 again. I want to read these verses. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus the beggar. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. You know, he's the kind of guy that's got a new car, lots of money, doesn't have to work. Maybe he inherited his money, whatever. He just walks around dressed, tries to make everybody think he's such a big shot. And verse 20 says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which had laid at his gate full of sores. You know, nowadays we see homeless people all over the city. Sometimes you don't know if they're just there trying to trick you into giving them money or if they're really hurting. But you know, when you see them without legs and without an arm, you know you probably should help them if you can. Carefully. We've learned that. Because sometimes these people can be very upset and be very anxious, and they can do things like start flailing their arms when you try to talk to them about God. They can start yelling at you because they don't believe God helped them. They don't realize that some other catastrophe has happened in their life that fell upon them. Verse 21 says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, this poor man was asking. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, the rich man, it says here, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, you're talking about the rich man, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in the flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that in thy lifetime you received the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between you and us is a great gulf fixed, so they that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from then. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send them to my father's house. You see, he said, I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Realize this man's in heaven, and he's realized he didn't go talk to his 5 brethren. You imagine how this guy must feel. He's in hell, and his five brethren are there, and he hasn't talked to them. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses nor the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. It's very important that we try to get our children to follow the path of righteousness and to do the things that God would want us to do. We can't just give up. We can't just quit. We have to keep trying, and we have to try to get those people to see the nice things that are happening in life. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:6, there's a time to search and a time to give up. Like at that secondhand store, a time to give up. We were searching. It also says there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. I've sure got to learn that too. But that also goes for spiritual things. We need to keep certain spiritual rules in our life and remember that God was showing holiness to people, and he wants us to be like him. If we're not holy like him, we're not doing the right things. If we're going out and doing the wrong thing. When I was younger, I spent a lot of time thinking about things, like things I wanted, like cars, houses, jobs, riches, the opposite sex. I spent a lot of time doing that. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes 3:8, there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. We need to realize that our time right now is to try to learn how to live holy, to be like God, and ask God, are we doing what we're supposed to do? The Bible says in one place to do all that we do in the name of Jesus. In John 4:35 it says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And right now, there are thousands of people, our neighbors, our children, our relatives, they're waiting to be told about the Lord. We need to be careful that we don't let things drag us out and distract us. It says in Luke 21:34, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, like distractions. That's something like that. You're going out doing things you don't need to. Drunkenness and the anxieties of life. Remember 2 Timothy 1:7? It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's what they're talking about, the anxious anxieties of life. I want to read this verse again. Be careful, Luke 21:34. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, which is like distractions, drunkenness, and anxieties of life, which can be dread. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. What's going to happen is you may not be able to witness to that relative. Maybe you won't die. Maybe they'll die. Maybe your neighbor will die. It is going to be important that you keep trying to do something for these people. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's very important today, in this time and these times, that we try to do the things that would really please God and try to help those people around us to stay on a path that would help us. So we need to do everything we can to not hurt people and knock them off the path. Just like if we have a child and we overcorrect them, or we say something bad to them, or even tell a bad joke, that's going to get them off the path. They need to be on the path right behind us. We need to ask God to protect us and protect our children, help us to do the things we need to. And if we're not doing the right thing and we feel something's wrong, then we need to ask God to help us. Titus 3:3 says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Colossians 1:21 says, once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Now we need to repent. Just like it says in Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you and all those who are far off. I believe I've quoted that right. It's very important today to get things going right in your life and do the things you should be doing and talk to your relatives. Thank you for visiting us today at Witnessing for Jesus.